Hi, and welcome to the second season of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, we spoke with two-time cancer survivor Lori, who was diagnosed with stage 3B non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in 1977 at the age of 27. Back then, she was treated with radiation and chemotherapy, but it was an abnormal mammogram in 2005 that was the bigger shock.
In 1977, I was conducting field research for my anthropology PhD in a remote village in Guatemala. And it was the kind of place where there was no running water, no electricity, no indoor plumbing, so you can kind of get an idea of what it was like. About 8 months into my stay, I began to experience intermittent night sweats and a shallow cough, and because TB was endemic in the area, but there were no health services, I went down to Guatemala City and saw a doctor there who was a tuberculosis specialist. He took an x-ray. He walked into the room. I knew it wasn't good news. He said I had a tumor about the size of a grapefruit underneath my breastbone and that I needed to go back to the United States immediately. It took me about, as I always say, a nanosecond to decide to get on plane the next morning. And basically, I evaporated from the village. I never went back to say goodbye. I never went back to collect my belongings until 2007, but that is another story. I checked into UCLA Medical Center about 2 days later, was diagnosed about 2 weeks later with diffuse histiocytic, they used to call it histiocytic lymphoma, stage 3B. Out of a four-stage scale. My physician then was a newly minted oncologist who actually is my oncologist to this day, believe it or not. But at that time, chemotherapy, combination chemotherapy had just come online. So I was given quite an aggressive chemotherapeutic treatment plan. And the acronym is CHOP. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's Cytoxan, Adriamycin, Oncovin, and Prednisone for 2 months, followed by intense radiation to my chest. Now that's the end of that part of the ancient history. Fast forward 30 years, during which I enjoyed perfect health, I got my routine mammogram, and I was 57 at the time, and my heart starts beating whenever I talk about this. It revealed that I had a tumor, about a 2 millimeter tumor, in the area where I had been formerly radiated 30 years prior. And since there is no evidence of breast cancer in my family, the physicians said they could not be absolutely 100% sure about this, but it is likely that it may have been caused by the radiation that I received 30 years prior. Okay. So in 2005, I was diagnosed with, had a needle biopsy, and it confirmed invasive ductal carcinoma. But what I soon found out was that I belonged to a subset of women with prior lymphomas who, like me, had been treated with radiation to the chest and who, years later, are now being diagnosed with breast cancer. So if that news wasn't shattering enough, I mean, it was really a double whammy. There was some pretty sobering news to contend with going forward in terms of my treatment plan.
Following her breast cancer diagnosis, Lori was faced with a big decision when it came to her treatment options. Then, her oncologist recommended using a diagnostic test called the Oncotype DX Assay that helps make informed, individualized treatment decisions to help her determine the likely benefit that she'd get from chemotherapy.
Now, the reason why, in my particular case, the Oncotype was really, manna from heaven, really, was because of this. Here were the complications. I was told that since I'd already reached my lifetime doses of some of the chemotherapeutic agents that had cured me the first time around, right, receiving them again for the breast cancer placed me at a much higher risk for cardiac toxicity, leukemia, or both, than patients who are receiving chemo for the first time. So, the agonizing dilemma was this. Undergo chemotherapy yet again to reduce my chances of recurrence, but expose myself to these terrible risks of leukemia or toxic cardiac toxicity, or skip the potential benefits of chemotherapy to avoid these life-threatening complications. Okay, so neither of those seemed like a good option to me, and I seriously considered opting for a complete mastectomy instead of a lumpectomy, which I was a candidate for, simply because I needed to stop looping on this no-win decision. I mean, either way, it would have been really difficult. So that's when my physician, Dr. Gregory Sarnoff, who was really an early adopter of this test, I think it had been introduced a year before in 2004, and this was 2005, explained that he had a genomic tool, the Oncotype DX, and he felt that the results could offer us a personalized way of going forward, given all the limitations of my specific case. And that it wasn't guesswork, it wasn't wishful thinking, it could provide us with reliable results unique to my specific tumor. So fortunately, he and I were able to have a very, very, I would say, kind of enlightened dialogue about this, because it was a new tool. He had a lot of confidence in it. And it was really a way for me to work around this horrible dilemma. So I said, absolutely. I had access to it. I had a doctor who had faith in it. And it seemed to me to be the absolute way to go. And we did.
After receiving her recurrence score, which indicated that she had a relatively low risk for her cancer returning, Lori opted to forgo chemotherapy.
I received a recurrence score which was not particularly low. Okay, I think it was 17. However, because of what was at stake here, and because this is not a perfect world, right, there are no guarantees. Both my physician and I knew that. He felt, I was kind of on the fence. Well, it's 17, it's not super low. He said, it's low enough so that we can move forward without you taking the chemo or without you having a mastectomy. So it wasn't a clean, clear-cut path, okay? So a certain amount of it was a leap of faith, in scientific faith, I might add. That was really critical that, there are no 100, there are very few 100% solutions. But in this particular case, in my particular case, my physician had enough confidence in the test to move forward, even though I didn't have a very, very low score. But obviously it worked. Obviously it was the right decision. But there were other kind of advantages to having that score psychologically for me. It was tangible. It was something to hang on to in the midst of so much uncertainty. And that when I got that actual score, it was like someone handed me my life back. It was someone handed me my peace of mind back. And, so the score was something that really it helped me control my fear. And, you know, as we all know, fear will take over as much mental real estate as you give it, right? And so controlling my fear was a big part, I think, of my confidence, building back my confidence that I could look forward to a healthy future. And so there were lots of kind of side benefits of the oncotype.
Since her two bouts with cancer, Lori has one big takeaway from her experience: how to honor each healthy day that she has.
On an emotional level, my first cancer taught me this lesson. My second cancer, I don't want to say reinforced the lesson because I thought it was doing a pretty good job, but following the lesson, and that was, and this is going to sound, maybe a little bit, how do I want to say this? I really do ask myself the question every single day, how do I honor this healthy day? What am I going to do this healthy day that's going to really reaffirm my health, that's going to remind me how precious my health is, that's going to remind me how quickly that can change? And really take that consciousness back and say, this is now part of my life. What are the healthy things that I have learned about what life can really be and deliver to you without on a moment's notice, without a moment's notice? And I wouldn't say that it's something that I am obsessed with, but it is part of my natural way of being now. I understand that things can change in a second, and that I sure better have a lot of gratitude for every single day that I feel well.
Join us next week when we learn more about the National Pediatric Cancer Foundation. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.